Hello, welcome to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them to lives of extraordinary mission. My name is Patrick Rice, and I'm joined in the studio with my brother in Christ, Dan Demite.
What's up, Patrick?
Dan, we have an amazing guest to bring to you. His name is Paco Gavrilides, and he is nothing short of an apostle that God has used to build up the church. Paco was born into the Episcopal Church, but he went on a Catholic retreat and experienced a life-changing encounter of power and intimacy where the Holy Spirit convicted him to become Catholic. He was called into ministry in Latin America to build up the church and is now working to form priests at Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit, Michigan. Dan, before we go any further, can you start us off in prayer?
Heck yeah. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Good and gracious God, we love you. We love you. We just are amazed at your glory. I pray right now, Lord, that you would send an outpouring of the gift of the Holy Spirit of wonder and awe upon us, that we would be more amazed by your majesty, more amazed by your beauty, that we would fall on bended knee before your glory. Lord, that we would humbly recognize that you are a supernatural God who wants to bring upon us a supernatural world, and that we would hunger and thirst so deeply for your supernatural power to rest here in our midst. Lord, we pray that our hearts would have expectant faith, that we would expect signs and wonders in our midst, that we would expect your glory to be seen with our own eyes and your glory to be in our own lives.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John chapter 16. But I tell you the truth, it is better for you that I go. For if I do not go, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world in regard to sin, righteousness, and condemnation. Father, we thank you for sending Jesus. Jesus, we thank you for sending us Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank you for filling the church and guiding the church to be like little Christ walking in the world. So, Father, we pray that we would have a greater understanding of the dignity, the call, and the mission that you're launching each individual person into. And we pray for this renewal of our minds in the name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Woo!
All right, Patrick.
Come on.
This is going to be amazing.
No, it's going to be so good. Okay. Dan, I'm so convinced right now that right now is the most exciting time to be alive as a follower of Jesus since perhaps the time of Jesus.
Heck yeah, okay? I agree with that.
It's a bold statement.
That is a bold statement.
And if you're out there thinking that, like, oh my gosh, the 13th century, that was the best. You know, we had Aquinas. I used to think that too, but I really don't anymore.
I doubt too many people sit around and think, wow, Thomas Aquinas, that was the best time
13th
ever.
13th century, 12th century. No, it was awesome. Don't get me wrong. But Dan, there's so much glory right now, okay?
Yeah.
Just like at the time of Jesus in the early church, people could have easily missed what was going on. You could have missed Jesus walking in your midst, okay? You could have been distracted by the world events around you, like the Zealots were all caught up in the political intrigue with the Roman Empire and the Herodians, and they completely missed Jesus, right? And I think the same thing is true for us right now. We could get caught up with all of the worldly affairs, even the church, like politically worldly affairs stuff,
yeah,
and missed what Jesus is actually doing.
Yeah, I mean, the Pharisees, they were caught up in spiritual affairs, right? And they were very devout to the law, but they missed what Jesus was doing. They missed the freedom from the law. They missed the power of the Son of God in their midst.
Yeah, and like, while the communists were so like caught up with America, they didn't see what God was doing through Pope John Paul II, and he totally dismantled them, right?
Exactly.
It's the same thing going on. So we can't have blind eyes to not see what God is doing, okay? And I say this as like a lead-in because I'm so excited for Paco to share his story, because his story is a testimony of the amazing work that God is doing right now, that God is releasing his Spirit in a way that we haven't seen since the early church, and the signs and wonders that accompany the preaching of the word are real. So we need, like, if you're listening to the show right now and you're just going through, I'm telling you, God has, he's going to open your eyes through the power of the word of God that's flowing through this show today. So, I mean, what we're seeing right now, like Paco's going to be sharing about, you know, God speaking clearly, saying, go here, just like he did with Paul and Barnabas, you know. We're going to hear about miracles, healings, and everything that happened in the early church. But I think what God is doing right now is that he's changing what the new what normal is. And we've talked about this on the show before, but God is making a new normal.
Yeah.
And we need eyes to see and ears to hear what the new normal is. And I think when it comes down to, like, you know, we've said Jesus Christ and the way that he lived defines the normal Christian life. It isn't like your favorite saint, you know, from whenever. It's actually Jesus. And everything that he did, both naturally and supernaturally, is available to us. But it's all about the role of the Holy Spirit in conforming us to the image of Jesus. And one thing that I think that I want to talk about with that's key with Paco's testimony is the role of the Holy Spirit that I think we miss a lot. And I read that here, but I'm going to read it again, okay? So this is John 16, verse 7 and 8. But I tell you the truth, it is better for you that I go. For if I do not go, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world in regard to sin, righteousness, and condemnation.
Mm.
So, like, I don't know, Dan, I feel like the way I was raised, like, we learned about what the sins were, and it was our job to, you know, make sure that people didn't sin. And, yeah, like, that was,
like,
the church's
it's
job.
It's your job it's my to job. Convict the world of sin and righteousness.
Yeah, I mean, like, can you talk about, is that messed up or something? Or,
well, you know,
we're missing the mark here?
I think it's, I mean, I just mentioned the Pharisees a little bit ago. Like, wasn't that their task? Like, isn't that what they kind of did in the Gospels? We see them going around and they're just trying to convict hearts of sin. A lot of times the burden becomes our own in ministry, where the Holy Spirit wants to take the burden off of us and just allow if we pronounce the Spirit and we enable the Spirit to work, he does all the work. It's just an amazing reality that can take place.
Yeah. And it was the most freeing thing for me when I realized, oh my gosh, it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict people of their sin and to convict them of righteousness. Righteousness means right relationship with God as a father to a son.
Yeah.
And so that's what ultimately is. And I've actually done new evangelization projects with people. And when I've been on the street and meeting people and praying with people, I actually had a person say, hey, why didn't you tell them that they needed to be Catholic? Why did, like, you know, you prayed and God touched them, but, like, doesn't God want everyone to be Catholic? I'm like, yeah, but it's God's job to actually convict them of that. And it's God's job to reveal my role in that. But it's not my job to convict people of that righteousness. That's the Holy Spirit's job. And it created this, like, division between my group and the other group. And they're like, and they were telling people, you're not part of the true church. You need to be changed. And they're trying to convict people. And these people were just totally put off by that. And I think one of the things God's teaching us is really the power of the Holy Spirit to convict.
Yeah.
And there's this model I want to share with our listeners, Dan. It's that the Father sends Jesus. Jesus sends the Holy Spirit, right? And the Holy Spirit becomes the life and soul of the church. And so there's, like, this progression that goes. And then the church's job is, so the Father reveals the Son reveals the Spirit reveals the church. It's the church's job to reveal people the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit leads them to Christ.
Wow.
And so our job is actually not to convict people of sin and righteousness. Our job is to lead people to Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will take them the rest of the way.
Well, and going back to what you said at the beginning of the show, so we are living in probably the most exciting time of in the church's history since the early church, right? And it's easy for a modern day believer not to see that. It's easy for a modern day believer not just to miss it, but to actually see the signs of the time and then fall into despair. Like, oh my goodness, there's so much sin and there's so much unrighteousness, and the secular culture is so anti-Christian at this point. Like, this, and it's just so easy to fall into despair. But if you believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, and if you see the renewal of the Spirit in the modern world, then you're, instead of being filled with despair, you're filled with hope, right? And just like you said, the early church, when was the church born, right? It's born
Pentecost,
right? And so right after Pentecost, what does Peter do? One of his very first things that he does is he preaches from the prophet Joel, and he says, I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, that he promises to send signs and wonders, right?
And those glorify God.
And all through the Gospels, we see signs and wonders. Jesus performs through the Holy Spirit signs and wonders, and it's through the signs and wonders that people come to believe. And just as you're saying, as we go out and we proclaim the gospel and we trust in the Holy Spirit, often signs and wonders will accompany the proclamation of the gospel. And it's that which will convict hearts and change, convict people of sin, like, and lead them towards righteousness.
And they're like, wait a minute, I want to be like you. What are you? I'm like, I'm Catholic.
Exactly.
What? Yeah.
I just was brought to remember the early prayer of St. Pope John the 23rd, right? That he prayed for, in the 1962, he prayed for a new Pentecost. And the beginning of his prayer goes like this: renew your wonders in this our day. Renew your wonders in this our day as by a new Pentecost, right? So he was praying that the Lord would bring about a new Pentecost, that the Spirit would be poured out in the church again in a new way. And then he prays a beautiful prayer: renew your wonders, right? Like, allow your signs and wonders, the same signs and wonders we read about in the New Testament and that we read about in the Gospels and the Acts of the Apostles, renew those in the church today. And I think if we're keen and looking for this, we see it. That this prayer has not been unheard, but that this prayer has been answered.
Yeah. So I think this is actually the perfect setup for Paco's life, how he was called into the Catholic Church and what he did to build up the church. It was the same thing he received. He gave it away. So actually, we're going to, Dan, let's go ahead and bring Paco on the show. Paco, are you there?
Yes, I am, Patrick.
Hey, welcome to Encounter Radio, brother.
Thank you very much. It's great to be with you, men.
Yeah. Yeah,
Paco, so I have a weird obsession for names. Like, I love, like, interesting names. And I'd say Paco is probably one of the coolest names I've ever heard.
Yeah. Well, his name, his real name is Francisco.
Francisco. Yeah. That's also fun. Francisco.
Yeah.
Right.
Paco. Awesome. It's good to have you here, man.
So, thank you.
So, Paco, can you tell us about your family and faith life growing up?
Oh, yes. Yes. I grew up in a family where it was, we were a mixed faith, Christian faith. My father was Greek Orthodox and my mother was Episcopalian.
Wow.
But since my father didn't really participate very actively in his church, I was baptized as an Episcopalian and grew up with a very pious mother who taught me how to pray. And it sort of helped me kind of grow up and stay on the straight and narrow when I was a young kid. And as I was moving, you know, as I grew up and in high school, you know, I was a normal kid, did sports, did all the kind of things that was active in the school environment, and had something inside of me was desiring to know the Lord in a more important way, a significant way, because a lot of my friends weren't. But I found myself always kind of looking for something more. And in the high school environment, I really didn't find it, honestly. But when I went to Central Michigan University in my university years, I was dating a girl in late high school, and she was a girl from the Reformed Church of America, and that particular denomination at that time, they were quite anti-Catholic. And as an Episcopalian, I just didn't like the way they were speaking about the Catholic Church. So one of the first things that I did was I began to defend the Catholic Church without even being Catholic.
So you're not even Catholic, and you feel this conviction to defend the Catholic Church. I love
That's right. I did, indeed. And that led me to do some study, of course, and reading, especially about our history as an Anglican church. The Episcopal Church is just the United States version of the Anglican Church. And what happened was, I realized, I went to my pastor to double check this. I said, how did we become a church, and when did we become a church? Well, when he spoke to me about King Henry VIII and how he, you know, didn't get the divorce he wanted from Anne Boleyn, and therefore he just cut the whole country off from the Catholic Church, I realized I wasn't on solid ground. And I was kind of concerned about that.
That must have been an awkward conversation for this priest. Like,
it was. It was a very awkward conversation. I kept a lot of it to myself after a while because I knew something was going to happen. I didn't know what it was, but something inside, the rug got pulled out from under me. Mm-hmm. So from there, a little bit further on, when I was at the first, I stayed with the Episcopal Church for the first 2 years, let's say, and I joined the William Temple Association, which is their version of the Newman Club. And the young people there really weren't talking about a personal Lord Jesus. They didn't seem to know him. They were more into social justice. They were more into political action. And I was not very satisfied at all.
They were missing what God was actually doing.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And so what happened was, because of God's providence, I met a young girl of all my age, in my German class, and she was a Lutheran becoming a Catholic. And as we discussed things, we sort of struck up, you know, conversation about faith, and she invited me over to the Catholic student lounge, where I met some other students that were Catholic, and I had my first conversation with a priest. That was the first thing that happened, and I asked him all the typical questions that Protestants ask, right? Well, you know, what's this deal with the Pope? What kind of authority does he have? What about Blessed Mother and the Blessed Virgin Mary? And then I asked questions about authority, and I liked his answers, but it just kind of brought peace to me, but nothing else. But I had never stepped into a Catholic church in my life. In fact, I heard it was kind of spooky, you know, when I was growing up. So.
Not all that incense.
And so what happened was I went in, and this was my first thing the Lord did, the Holy Spirit did. I went in, I knelt down in the first pew looking at the tabernacle, and as I was kneeling, I was overwhelmed with the presence of God, and this was before any kind of experience of being baptized in the Spirit or anything. I felt like I heard the Lord say, "This is the place you belong."
Wow.
And it was so strong in me, I just got up and walked out, and I wanted to tell somebody, God spoke to me. Well, they were the typical Catholic students at the time, and they didn't quite understand what I was talking about. So I didn't do much with that. But about a month later, this same girl, Barb, who spoke to me in a class, came back from a weekend, and she was kind of a very peaceful, joyful person, but she came back from this weekend, and on Sunday afternoon, she came to the lounge, and I was studying there, and she was on fire. Hmm. She couldn't contain herself. She talked about this group gathering of Catholics who had been filled with the Holy Spirit. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's what the term she used. And I could tell that she had an experience of an awakening that changed her life radically.
Okay, Paco, hold on. Time out. This is 1967, right?
That's 1960, yeah. 1968.
Did you have any context for what that term, baptism in the Spirit, meant when you heard it?
When I heard it, I'd never heard it before.
Okay,
it was a new term for me. But what it ended up meaning to me was, wow, she's alive in the Lord, and she really has come to a great place of faith and personal living contact with Jesus. That's what the thing was obvious from, you know, to me from her.
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing.
And from there, you know, she talked to me about people who found themselves worshiping God in this new kind of way, and she told me about, you know, the tremendous desire to pray, and she told me about her own experience of receiving this gift of prayer called the gift of tongues and that sort of thing. Well, she also said to me, listen, I want you to read two books. One was a Nikki Cruz's book, The Cross and the Switchblade. And the other was a book called They Speak in Other Tongues by John Sherrill. And so, you know, I was so interested and sort of piqued in my interest because of the way she was talking that I got the books, I read them, I felt like I was filled more with faith. And then she said, come down the next month, and I want you to meet these people and see what happens. So I went down there, and I met all of these Catholics, most of them from Michigan, but some came from Indiana and some from Notre Dame. And the room was bubbling with excitement, and people were happy and affectionate and warm, and conversations were always about things that God was doing in their lives and so on and so forth. And during that time, there was a opportunity for those who had come for the first time to hear about the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of the church and according to the scriptures. And it was Dr. Ralph Martin who gave that talk to me. And then from there, for anybody who would be interested after hearing the presentation, to be prayed with to go into a particular room. And we did.
Well,
hold on,
Paco. We have to go to a break. But yep. Listeners, when we come back on the show, we're going to hear what happens after Paco responds in this way. You're listening to Encounter, a production of St. Gabriel Radio. And when we come back from the break, you're going to hear the rest of Paco Gabrielletti's story. Stay tuned. I Welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. We've been interviewing Paco Gavrilides about being launched into ministry. Paco, can you continue your story?
Yes, I'd be glad to. Well, so in that grouping of among those 300 people that were there that day in Williamston, Michigan, that I had heard testimonies of people's lives being changed when they were received the Holy Spirit. People were led to do evangelization. Other people were led by the Spirit to pray over people for physical healing. Other people were led to get reconciled with family members. It was really beautiful. So all of this built up to me to what the time in which we were in a room together. There were about 20 of us who were new, completely new. And there were other people there standing around who were going to pray with us. Well, the leader gave an instruction on how to just focus on Jesus and just ask simply for this release of the Holy Spirit that God gives. And sure enough, the man came over to me and began to pray over me. And when he did, I began to experience throughout my entire body this deep, deep, intense heat, this presence of God coming over me. And as it was coming over me, I began to experience this, first, a wave of God's love. I just was filled with the love of God. Mm. And I really felt like it was the Father's love, actually, at that moment. Amen. Like I was really the Son of God saying, Abba, Father.
Wow.
And the next thing that happened was there was just this joy that was just bubbling up inside of me, and a peace that came over me. And I remember sort of like internally relaxing and saying, Lord, where have you been all my life?
Wow.
Amen to that.
Can we take a time out and just like talk about intimacy? Because we talk about this term, like God wants to have an intimate relationship with us.
Yes.
But what
yes.
Paco just described is what that looks like. What does intimacy look like?
Yeah.
And I think it's... that's a pretty good description, brother. What do you think?
Exactly. Well, I mean, just the words you used to describe it, you experienced a wave of love, and then you experienced this incredible joy, and then a peace that came upon you, right? And Galatians chapter 5, St. Paul says, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, peace, and joy, right?
Yeah.
And that you experienced the fruit of the Spirit right away in your life. And I love how you said that you... that this wave of love was like you were the Father's son, and how difficult is that often for us to recognize, especially as adults, right? Like, do we recognize our sonship, that we are sons of the Father, and really experienced a childlike love from our Father?
And I think, too, that one of the big things is in the Scriptures, understanding is not a cognitive function. That's a Western thing that we have. We limit understanding to what we can understand in universals in our mind, but understanding is an experience ultimately. Like, you can't, I can tell you about, you know, the Father's love, and then you can experience the Father's love, and the Father wants us to have encounters, and that's what encounters are, and that's why we have the show, Encounter. So Paco, thank you for just demonstrating what that intimacy started like with the Father. What happened next?
Well, what happened next was really, really special to me, because I felt like I had kind of got it. I received it, you know, and I was sitting there in my chair, and I was smiling, and I was just relaxing and kind of basking in the love of God.
Mm.
Well, Barb came in and said, did you pray in tongues when you received the Spirit?
Oh, Barb.
and I said, well, honestly, I didn't even think about it. I'm good to go.
I got what I came for.
Yeah, and she said to me very simply, well, let's just thank the Lord then. Well, I got from that, when she said that, it moved me from a passive posture to a desire to respond actively. And so all of a sudden, welling up inside of me was this desire to say thank you to the Lord. So I started to open my mouth, and believe it or not, what came rumbling out, rolling out, was this language in tongues. I got experience of Spirit helping me pray, and I began to pray in tongues, pray in tongues. Well, I didn't know how this was perfectly under my control, and she walked out of the room. So I just kept praying and praying. She didn't get back in the room for, I don't know, 20 minutes or so, and I was just praying in tongues. Finally, she tapped me on the shoulder and said, you know, you can stop anytime you want. And I go, thank you. I didn't realize I could. And the beautiful thing was, after that experience of receiving the gift of prayer like that, I began to sing and to praise the Lord. And all the way home from Williamston back up to Central Michigan, I was singing in a car with other people who came with me and praising God. I had never worshiped the Lord that spontaneously before. I never had the kind of confidence in a relationship and intimacy in communication to just to let the heart speak to God with everything that it had. So I got out of that car when I got to Central Michigan, and I went jumping and skipping and singing into my dorm room.
Praise the Lord.
I walk in my dorm room, and there's four guys there, and they're looking at me because I must be lit up like a light bulb or something. They say, "Wow, what happened to you?" Well, there began my career, if you will, in evangelizing, because I began to tell them the story of how I experienced Christ, and I began to tell them all about that. That same week, just to say real quickly, was the week we did final exams at the end of the year, and I couldn't help myself. I started telling the guys on the floor one by one what had happened. So, matter of fact, one time I was walking down the corridor, and one guy said, "Here comes Paco!" And they all slammed the door because they knew I was coming after him. You know, I couldn't help myself. And then the crowning thing on that, just to end that point, is I was supposed to take this literature exam at 7 a.m. in the morning on a Friday. And that night, I forgot about that exam, and I was evangelizing this guy up until about midnight. And all of a sudden, it dawned on me, oh, my gosh, I've got an exam tomorrow. So I just knelt down right where I was, and I said, "Look, Lord, I've been working for you. Now it's time for you to help work for me because I need some help." So I just went back, and I prayed, and I studied for a while. I went in, took the exam, did well on the exam. I hadn't liked that course. So the professor said to me, "You did very well on this exam. What happened?" And I said, "I'll tell you right after class." So I had another wonderful opportunity to give my testimony and to tell her about the Lord. And that really was what characterized my life at Central Michigan University for a long time, was telling the story of the wonderful work of God, first in my own life, and then being more and more led by the Spirit to actually preach and pray with different people, to be filled with the Holy Spirit and see their lives change as well.
So we're going to take a time out right there, because if you're listening and you want to be an evangelist and you want to do the stuff of God, the first thing is just being able to share with people freely what God has done for you. That witness is powerful.
Yeah, you know what, Paco, when you're speaking, it seems like your encounter with the power of the Holy Spirit led to two fruits, right? The fruit of spontaneous worship, which... Yeah. Which I think is a whole new wave of prayer that our church is undergoing right now, right? Like, we've always had, there's this new spontaneity in our worship of the Lord. And it's, instead of trying to dive inside of ourselves, you just described this worship of God where you're just like, "I've experienced your signs and wonders, and all I want to do is celebrate that," right? And you are so amazing. Right. You're so beautiful for that. So encounter leads to spontaneous worship, and then it leads to evangelization, that you almost, you can't help but share with others what God has done.
And Paco, correct me if I'm wrong, but I heard somewhere that some of the liturgical prayers from the early church were started as like a spontaneous flow that ended up getting written down.
I don't know precisely if that's that would not surprise me, and it's certainly the case that yes, some of the earliest hymns came out of inspired prayer that were that difference of the bishops or the leaders or people began to pray. I don't know specifically more about that. I couldn't be more accurate than that.
That'll be a good topic to research.
Yeah,
but Paco,
definitely.
Keep going. This is awesome.
Yeah. Okay. So you want me to speak out? Keep going?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, okay. Anyways, I actually want to move to you finished up at this college.
Yeah.
What happened next? Where did the Lord take you next?
Well, in those encounters where I would go back monthly to Williamston, where these first Catholics were experiencing this Pentecostal outbreak, I was invited by some local leaders in Ann Arbor, Ralph Martin and Steve Clark, to come down and work with them, especially at the University of Michigan. So I moved down to the University of Michigan, where I learned a lot more about evangelizing and street evangelization and working together, and I ended up becoming one of the local leaders there whose responsibility was outreach, evangelistic and pastoral outreach to university students. And it was a very beautiful and powerful time because I saw many students hear the gospel and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I worked on campus for over 7 years with this local charismatic community that was developing in the Ann Arbor area. And at that time, we had many different kinds of experiences. We had large prayer meetings where hundreds of students were coming together, like easy 500 to 800 people would be coming to these prayer meetings. And they would hear the gospel, we would be worshiping, we would be offering seminars that would help people open up to being baptized in the Spirit. I remember very powerful prayer meetings where the power of praise and worship was so strong that one woman was physically healed spontaneously at the meeting.
Wow.
And
praise God.
And she screamed out, and we all kind of looked, you know, we didn't know what was going on. And we, you know, somebody went to her, and she then gave her testimony that while we were worshiping, the Spirit just came to her and touched her, and she was healed, and she showed her arm and everything that had been healed. We saw many things happen there for people. People get free from spiritual bondage just by the presence of the Lord was so thick, you could cut it with a knife at times.
Wow.
It was amazing, and God was really doing a lot. And all of a sudden, people from around the country were coming. It was like there's this magnet, this community that was gathering together, gathering for power, gathering in the name of Jesus, gathering for the sake of being a people renewed by Him, gathering to become disciples, gathering so that we could do mission. Even though we didn't understand it all, there were prophetic words that the Lord wanted to use us to reach others. And people around the world in the Holy Spirit, there were similar kind of senses that God was doing something. There was a movement of the Spirit. And sometimes it was connection, and sometimes it was happening simultaneously.
Wow.
Well, as time went on, they asked me to take a particular concern for our work throughout Latin America. And so I went to many, many different countries throughout the Latin American region with working with local leaders to form these ecclesial communities, these charismatic communities that God was raising up. And in the course of that, that was when I experienced a whole lot more manifestation of the power of God.
Wow.
Not only just to preach and bring conversion, but different times and in different places, genuine manifestations of God breaking in in healing and deliverance and powerful conversions. All of those things happened. Just to give you an example, after being I worked in Nicaragua during the 12 years of the Sandinista Revolution, and I would go there regularly.
And really quick for our listeners, Paco, the Sandinista Revolution was the communist uprising in Nicaragua during the
80s? Yeah, it was a Marxist uprising. Yep, called it Marxism. Yeah, it was communism, of course.
Yeah.
And they were sort of disciples of Fidel Castro, actually, their leadership. But So in that, one of the gifts that the Lord gives you when you're really serving Him apostolically is He gives you a gift of discernment, a spiritual gift of discernment, where you discern whether something's of the Holy Spirit, something's of the human spirit, or something's of the evil spirit. Well, I was in the interior of the country in a place called Chontales. And in this place, during this weekend, after having given about four talks, it was on a lunch break. And all of a sudden, these five men came, and they were dressed as if they were farmers, like campesinos. But something in my spirit warned me and said, no, these are infiltrators. So I went back around the old house where we were and spoke to the leaders who were eating on the other side. And I said, brothers, the retreat's over. There's someone here. They're infiltrators. We're not going any further. They said, Paco, how do you know this? I said, I just know it. Go in the front and take a look for yourself. Well, they came back to me with their eyes wide open saying, you're absolutely right. These people have been around as soldiers in this area. And so we just praised the Lord. And one woman got this word, there's a wolf in sheep's clothing among us. You know? And somebody read a passage that said that same kind of thing. And so we decided to sing some songs and praise the Lord. The Sandinistas wanted to get control of the church, and they wanted to throw people into jail who might say something subversive. So this was a tremendous protection against being grabbed by the Sandinistas.
That's definitely the gift of discernment operating right there.
Yeah,
wow.
That was it. Then another very beautiful experience. I was in Costa Rica, and this was a time in which I had an experience, another experience of being filled, kind of like empowered by the Holy Spirit when I was prayed with by John Wimber, a famous, well-known evangelical free church pastor, a Protestant. And I had a powerful experience and a kind of a renewed faith. And so I went to Costa Rica, and we had a gathering, and I was telling them about this. And we decided that we were going to pray for an empowerment of the Spirit. And I had my eyes closed, a little music went on, and all of a sudden, with my eyes closed, there were about 300 people there. All of a sudden, I kept hearing this whoomp, whoomp, whoomp. And people all over the audience were falling under the power of God.
Wow.
Just, nobody was touching them. They were just falling everywhere. People that I would have never expected in this community to have that kind of experience were falling. People said that when they experienced the Spirit come on them, it was like they were filled with the Holy Spirit again. Hmm. Then at one point, we prayed with some people for physical healing. There was healing of the back. There was people who got free of different kinds of bondages. It was an unbelievable evening. And there were just different things happening. Another thing, when I was working up in Spain, up in the upper country, in the Basque country, in the Ciudad Victoria, you know how the Holy Spirit led some people from Peter, remember, he was to go and preach the gospel at the house of Cornelius, and how that happened in the Holy Spirit. It was quite amazing. Well, I was scheduled to go to Spain and up there in Vitoria to work with this community. When I was in Central America, I contracted hepatitis.
Oh, and that's
hepatitis
not fun.
Is something that you have to take some time to get well of before you can go. But I was scheduled to go. So here's what happened. I went to see the doc. The doc said, look, by this date, if you're not sufficiently free from hepatitis, you can't go. So I went, and I followed the doctor's orders, and I went to see him, and then I went to see him again. And then he said to me, he said, well, look, we have one more time before this one to see if you can go. Well, I went, and I prayed in my room, and the Lord said to me, open the Bible. So I opened the Bible to Romans chapter 14, and it's a passage, it's the only passage in the Scripture where it speaks about Spain. Paul says he's on his way to Jerusalem, he's going to pass by Spain on the way to make a room, a place for him in the household there. So I felt like the Lord really said, you are going, you are going to go, you're going to be fine. So I went with all this expectation to see the doctor. And the doctor said, I looked at your condition, and you're not ready to go. Well, I knew the Lord spoke to me, but I knew I had to be obedient.
Paco, we have to take another break.
Okay.
You're listening to Encounter, a production of St. Gabriel Radio. And when we come back from this break, we're going to hear what happens with the doctor. Stay tuned.
Amen.
I wanna feel the fire. I wanna
Welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the encounters of ordinary people that launch them to lives of extraordinary mission. We've been interviewing Paco Gavrilides, and he's been telling us a story about God's call to bring him to Spain. So, Paco, you had contracted this disease. You weren't able to go to Spain unless you were cleared by the doctor. What happened to the doctor with your last meeting?
Well, the doctor had said, no, your blood count, your white cell count is still too high. You can't go. And I left the office and I said, Lord, I know you've taught me to hear your voice. I'm absolutely convinced that you did speak to me, but I'm going to obey the doctor because I'm supposed to do that. And so I went home and I'm sitting in my house. It's after hours, like about 7 o'clock, and I receive a phone call from the doctor. And he says, Paco, I've got some interesting news for you.
Yes.
an expert in hepatitis came and visited me, and we revisited your x-ray or, you know, your results. And he said, no, you're fine. You can go.
Wow. Was his name Dr. Gabriel?
and it was just perfect. It was the timing that the Lord had. But let me tell you one other final thing. There's so many other wonderful moments, but there's a very special moment I'd like to tell you about how the Lord works when he wants to for the glory of his name and for good of his people.
Amen, please.
Yeah, I was in Michoacan in Mexico, and I was scheduled to give a retreat there to about 150 people who are part of a community and growing. And I was invited to the home of the family where the man was the leader of the community. And we were sitting around and having dinner together, and I thought everybody was there, but a little bit later on, this young girl, around 15, maybe 16 years old, came walking in, but she came walking in, and it was very obvious that she was lame in one of her legs, and she was dragging that leg, and you could kind of hear it as she'd walk. And, you know, and during the course of the conversation, I just asked the question, you know, did your daughter have an accident? And he said, no, she's been like this for many, many years, and she's growing up with this disorder. And out of my mouth, almost without me being aware of it, I said, oh, well, that's okay. The Lord's going to heal her right now. and I said, whoa. Inside of myself, I said, whoa. But I kept sensing this impulse of the Spirit, and inside of me was this inner certainty that God was going to act. I said, yes, 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 this is what we'll do. Listen, gather around here, and I want her to sit in this chair. Come here, honey. So I had her sit down, and I extended her legs. She sat down. I could see her legs, and it was about 1¾ inches of a difference in the length. And I said, now watch what the Lord will do. And I just said, Lord, I ask you now to bring these legs and even out this disorder that she might be able to walk normally again. And right before the eyes of all of us, we just saw that leg move.
Wow.
And even out.
Wow.
And when that happened,
amen,
everybody burst into tears because they saw the power of God. And I was choked up myself. It was this really amazing thing. And this girl, I shouldn't say poor girl, the Holy Spirit came on her. She had very thick black hair. And all I can say, the heat of the Spirit was so much that her hair, her head was sopping wet with this kind of anointing that came on her. Because the Spirit came on her because, you know, when you have disorder in your legs, it throws off your spine,
yeah,
and
back.
Your muscles are all kind of out of proportion. And something was going on in her back. Well, she just stood up and started walking up and down the kitchen, singing and praising God in the Spirit. It was unbelievable.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
Oh, my gosh. So, Dan, if you're just listening to this, how old do you think Paco would be?
Yeah,
like,
I
just hearing his voice,
yeah,
and his stories.
Paco, you sound like you're like 20, maybe 30 years old. You've got all this energy and vigor. How old are you?
Well, I'll be 68 October 12th.
68.
Wow.
So, Paco, from your first experience with the power of the Holy Spirit, the intimacy of the Father, in 1968, I know a lot of our listeners probably had encounters way back, but maybe that's kind of died down. What advice would you give people that have experienced like Holy Spirit burnout? Like, how do you stay renewed in the Lord?
I think that there's three things I'd say. Number one is, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the sweetness of God's love doesn't change. So I pursue him in prayer. Mm. I pray. I pray and I worship. I don't just pray and ask for him to do things for me or intercede for others, which is wonderful and important to do. I worship the God
Amen.
Who's given me life. And so that joy and the affirmation of who God is and what he's about just kind of confirms itself over and over again. So that's one of the things that I do. I also, as you all probably know, I fell in love with the Word of God when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, because Jesus is the, you know, is revealed so powerfully in the Scriptures. So reading the Lord, reading about the Lord, and having dialogue with the Lord through the Scripture was another thing that really, really strengthened me.
Wow.
Amen. And I learned also, I had in my journey very good, strong Christian friends who were walking with the Lord, and we were running this race together. This is not a Lone Ranger kind of adventure. No, we go arm in arm together, and we call one another up, and we call one another on, and we learn from one another. We encourage one another. We admonish one another. We call out of one another the things that God has put in us, so that even if we don't see them in ourselves, others can bring that to us so that we can keep yielding and giving testimony to what God has done and God is doing keeps everything alive. Even your trials become opportunities for further purification, for deepening your wisdom, for growing in humility, for strengthening your character, so that God might be honored in your life in the good times and in the difficult times as somebody who's at the service of the King of Kings
wow.
and the Lord of Lords.
Wow. Amen. So that is such a good word. I hope everyone receives that in Jesus' name. But Paco, I know that right now you are you're a homiletics instructor at Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit.
Yes.
And then also you do speaking with Renewal Ministries. Can you talk about both of these current ministries?
Oh, yes. Yes, I'm going into my sixth year in here at Sacred Heart Major Seminary, teaching homiletics 1 and 2, that's two semesters of it, to the guys in second and third theology. And the main focus that I try to give is to help them how to preach the Word of God in a charismatic way, that is to say, the basic gospel message, that the whole rhythm of the Christian life is based upon the life, death, and resurrection and glorious ascension of Jesus.
Wow.
And that
Amen.
Has to work its way into the way that they preach, so that those who hear it know how to dive to their sin, rise in Christ in victory. They need to learn how to talk to Jesus as a friend, because he's called all those who know him, who abide in him, as friends. They're no longer just servants. We put an emphasis on that. And I talk a great deal about the importance, and this is from the fathers of the church as well as the most recent documents of the church, of the role of the Holy Spirit guiding and leading and anointing the very preaching that they do.
So you want them to preach charismatic in a charismatic way. I'm
yes,
charismatically charismatic.
Yeah. Yeah.
So funny. And then you travel to speak. So you come to parishes. What do you like to?
Oh, yeah.
What has God called you to speak on?
Gosh, it's really many different things. I speak on the basic gospel, anything that has to do with preaching about Jesus and his life. I speak a great deal about the life and the role of the Holy Spirit in the church and helping people come into that experience. I teach a great deal on aspects of faith and character, growing in Christian character. I teach people on my wife and I, but she's doing a lot of homeschooling right now, but she and I at times do retreats for married couples. I teach on family quite a bit, and
wow.
I love to do that. I found myself, I teach pretty much anything or preach on anything that I'm asked to do. A lot of times I even talk about, how to understand the challenges of spiritual warfare and temptation and things that, a lot of things that have to do with Lent and messages and that sort of thing.
So, Paco, how can our listeners connect with you if they're interested in bringing you to their church?
Well, I have an email. I certainly, and a phone number. The email I would say is this one. It's Gavrilides, Gavrilides, .Francisco, Francisco, at shms.edu.
Paco, we're going to put that on our archive, okay?
Yeah, we'll put that on our archive.
We're going to close
Paco,
in
need,
prayer.
You need to change your email just to paco@gmail.com.
Yes. Paco, Holy Spirit Fire at gmail.com. So,
excellent.
Paco, can you actually close us in prayer? We have 2 minutes to just to pray together.
Paco,
oh,
earlier,
to, yes.
you said that when they prayed for a release of the Holy Spirit over you when you were baptized in the Holy Spirit in college, can you pray for a release of the Holy Spirit over our audience?
Oh, yes. Okay. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, Lord our God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your commitment. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that's been sent to the church and to your people through Jesus, the resurrected Lord. And Lord, I know your Spirit's at work to put a new fire and to renew the hearts and minds of so many of the beleaguered Catholics that are out there today. And I pray that this release of the Holy Spirit will move upon those who are listening this day, that they might encounter you, Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit again, that they might be awakened to love and they might be established in the truth that you are indeed the Savior of the world, the one sent by the Father, the only one that heaven provides, for there's no other salvation outside of that name than the name of Jesus the Lord. Lord, this day I pray that every person who is listening to this interview, that they might open their hearts to receive the love, the grace, and the power of God in abundance, that they too might cry, Abba, Father, Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Praise God. Thank you so much for joining us on Encounter, Paco.
This is great.
And I just like to thank all of our listeners, and I pray that you have the grace to receive and respond to every divine encounter that God brings to you today. To learn more about us, our show, the archives, or how you can share your life-changing encounter with our audience, please visit encounterradio.org. That's encounterradio.org. God bless you.